John the Baptist and Jesus are intertwined in our Advent story because if we remember at the very beginning of the story of the announcement of the birth of Jesus, there was also Elizabeth pregnant with John. And the story of Elizabeth and her husband, Zechariah, who was a priest who lost his voice because he didn't have any faith. This story of the birth of the baby Jesus and the story of John the Baptist will always be together. And as we are in that time that we call Advent, as we're anticipating his birth, we know that there were messengers. There were messengers to Mary. There was a messenger to Zechariah. There were messengers proclaiming ahead of his birth. Angels proclaiming to the shepherds in the field, "Behold, I bring you tidings of great joy." There have always been messengers to point people to Jesus, to point people to the Messiah. To think about God came down to earth as a human baby. And when we hold a human baby in our arms, don't we just feel the delight and joy of this new life that has come into our circles, whether they're our child or someone else's child? When we hold a baby, there is so much promise in the gift of that baby. But that 9 months that we're expecting, that is an advent of the birth, we're all excited. And we get all those new messages today that we have about births of babies. I think they're called reveal parties or something, gender reveal. Anyway, the messengers and the messages keep going ahead of the birth. But John the Baptist not only was part of that birth story, but he's part of the second advent too. Because when Christ came to the world as a baby, it was the beginning of the promise of the transformation of the world. It was God's fulfilling his promise that God would be with us. But that promise isn't complete yet. We are still in Advent. We are still in that place of waiting for the second coming of Christ. So we still need messengers, just as John, when John and Jesus were old enough to have their ministries come into fruition, John became the messenger proclaiming Christ, the Messiah, was in the midst. But this morning's message from John is a little harsh, don't you think, for Advent and for Christmas joy, when he starts with, "You brood of vipers." You didn't expect me to call you that this morning, I'm pretty certain. You didn't want to be a brood of vipers. And he says, "Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And more than likely, it was him, because he had been calling people to repentance, calling people to the Jordan River to be baptized and repent of their sins. And this crowd that came because he was proclaiming it. So there they were, this mishmash of people from Judah, tax collectors, soldiers, just the crowd themselves, just ordinary people like you and I, all there in the mix of it. And he asked them, "Who warned you? Who was the messenger that sent you here?" But then he doesn't expect an answer. He must have been in preacher mode, because that was a rhetorical question. You didn't get to answer it. He tells them what he expects of them: bear fruits worthy of repentance. So this is what I think happened. So we hear that, and then he began that process of bringing people down into the river, and whether he dunked them like this or poured water over them, as each one came, he knew who they were. So when the tax collectors came to him, he said to them, "Just be fair. Be fair." And when the crowds came to him, he reminded them, "In your bounty, whether your bounty is small, whether all you have is two coats, but your neighbor has none, give one." Or he might have looked at the one who was coming, and he knew that person's nature was one to cook and said, share what you have. Each person, I imagine, who came to John to be baptized in that river, John knew who they were. And when they asked those questions, what shall we do? You know, we have turned from our sinful ways. What shall we do in this new life? So he talks to the ordinary people and says, to give. To give generously from what you have. He doesn't say you have to give it all and you have to live in the poorhouse. He says, give out of your generosity, out of your abundance, so that others may have comfort. He says to those people in places of finance that you be fair with those who come into your business, that you be fair with those who you deal with. Don't extract from people that which they don't have. And he says to the people of government to be just. So when we think about this call, when we think about what does it mean to be a person of a church, a person who follows Christ, a person who understands this call upon our lives, who has repented of their sins and now has to go in another direction, what does that mean? It doesn't necessarily mean we have to go to Nicaragua. We don't have to go to Africa. We don't have to go to Liberia. But we do have to act like Christ would call us to act. That in this advent of the second coming of Christ, when we speak of peace and joy and hope, we are the messengers of the peace that is coming, of the joy that is coming, of the love that is here. We are the ones to proclaim this message so that those who come, when they ask the question, what do we do? What should we do? We know how to answer them. We know we can say to them, what are your gifts? What are your graces? What do you have that you can share? Live a life where we act justly and walk humbly with our God and proclaim mercy to each other. Reconciliation brings about the next advent, the next coming of Christ. We will always be in advent until Christ comes again. John gives us this warning. I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. I want us to think about that. That when we have made the decision to turn away from sin and turn towards God, we make the decision to be the proclaimers of the message of the coming, the second coming of the Messiah. We proclaim it not only with our words, not only with our prayers, but with every moment of our life. What shall we do? We shall live as people of the Word. And the Word teaches us that we are to be a people of hope, that we are to speak and live peace so that the joy that is within us moves out into the world. And the world knows that they are loved. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.